This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Leechwee Lin. Tonight, the passing of the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill.
First, we break down the bill itself and how it's changed over the years. And then, a special tribunal is going to be set up to file claims against perpetrators. We discuss who is going to get a seat at that table and why representation matters.
Tell us, are you happy this bill was passed? Do you think the special tribunal is the way to go? You can call 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and yesterday, the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill, which was first tabled back in 2018, has finally been approved by the Dewan Rakyat, and the legislation essentially broadens the legal recourse for sexual harassment victims by giving them an avenue to file claims against perpetrators, and this is going to be done through a special tribunal. Now, if we take a step back, the bill essentially defines sexual harassment as any unwanted act of a sexual nature. And this can be in whatever form, be it verbal or nonverbal, visual, a signal, or physical. And it's targeted at an individual and reasonably insults, causes offense, or threatens their well-being.
So if we look at the tribunal, right, what they can do is they have the authority to order the respondents to issue an apology to the complainant. They may also prescribe compensation of up to 250,000 ringgit for damages and losses. Those who then refuse to comply could be subject to fines and imprisonment. And they can challenge, or rather respondents can only challenge the compensations awarded by filing an appeal at the High Court on the basis of serious irregularity. The bill was also passed with amendments that allow for legal representation in complex cases on the condition that both parties will have the right to hire a lawyer. People who are underaged, persons with disabilities, can be represented by a guardian or a friend. The tribunal may impose any condition deemed necessary to ensure that the other party would not be in a position to face substantial loss due to this. So that's what we know about the bill in question. But there are also other conversations about how the bill is going to be monitored, as well as on the point of the tribunal, right? Because if we look at the committee, Datuk Sri Rina Harun, who is, of course, the Women, Families and Community Development Minister, she said that an evaluation committee would be set up to monitor the effectiveness of the law and to issue reports. It's going to comprise academics and individuals from NGOs and agencies. And then, if we look at the tribunal, she said the tribunal would consist of credible individuals who are experienced and have expertise in sexual harassment cases, including police officers, counsellors, health officers, NGOs and academics.
So a number of concerns have been brought up. Just going through some of the main ones, Pengerang MP Datuk Sri Azalina Uthman Syed, who's also the special advisor to the PM on law and human rights, objected to the appointment of the Women, Family and Community Development SecGen being the sole special anti-sexual harassment administrator, because she said this could lead to the risk of a single individual acting as a moral enforcer in these cases. She also agreed with a point that was brought up earlier by Segam MP Hannah Yeo, who suggested that the committee that's evaluating the law should comprise members from various ethnic backgrounds. So in response to this, Datuk Sri Rina Mohd Harun said at a press conference that the SecGen would be appointed as an administrator, that the law would be under the ministry's purview, and that the administrator wouldn't sit in the tribunal. Another concern that was brought up was more specifically about the tribunal itself. This was brought up by Kulai MP Theoni Ching, who talked about gender representation on the tribunal, because one clause states that there should be at least one woman on the tribunal. She pointed out that there should also be one man, because men also could be vulnerable to sexual harassment. I think all of which points to a concern and a desire for this to actually function in a way that is inclusive, that takes into account the multiple forms that something like sexual harassment can take.
Yes, and I'm glad that the conversations, when they are not being interrupted, have actually been quite fruitful, and also trying to bring forward different points of view. I believe that Fuzia Saleh also spoke about how, gave the example of how questioning how someone might be dressed, for instance, is the tone that we shouldn't be seeing, you know, and why it is, therefore, that we have people on the tribunal, on the committee, who actually understand the issue, who know the nuances surrounding it. And that's where issues like representation and all come in, which is what we'll be covering in the second half of our show. But I think that beyond that, there are questions that people have about the role and reach of the tribunal that we simply aren't equipped to answer.
Yes, it's also worth saying that in this long journey that the bill has had to finally being passed, it's taken on, you know, a few changes, it's shifted along the way. Not everyone is happy with this current form. There is some criticism that perhaps it doesn't do enough. So we are going to try and unpack some of that as well. All of which to say, let us know, are you happy that the anti-sexual harassment bill's been passed? Do you think the special tribunal is the way to go? You can call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Hani Tan, advocate and solicitor of the High Court of Malaya and a women's rights lawyer. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about the passing of this anti-sexual harassment bill. And first, we're going to break down what the bill means, how it's going to work. We'd like to hear from you. Are you happy it's been passed? Do you think the special tribunal is the way to go? You can call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now, Hani Tan, advocate and solicitor of the High Court of Malaya and a women's rights lawyer. Hani, good to have you with us.
Oh, hi, Sharmila and Lynn. Thanks for having me back.
So let's dive right in. On the one hand, this bill has been a welcome progress, but it's also faced some criticism, right? What did you make of the bill and the reactions to it?
Well, if you ask me whether the bill is perfect, of course not. But it is a sufficient bill. And I would say that after nearly 23 years, the women's groups led by JAG, I must be so relieved that it finally passed, you know, so kudos to them. But as in many things, so the proof of the pudding is going to be in the eating. So let's see how the process rolls out.
So what kind of changes has it seen from its first draft?
I would say not really so important ones, except for maybe one, and that is regarding legal representation. So now, if one party is represented by a lawyer, as companies would have to be, then the complainant may have her own lawyer. Previously, she couldn't.
And how are the provisions in this bill different from Part 15A of the Employment Act?
Well, the definition and the provisions in the Employment Act are very, very narrow because it's all set in an employer-employee situation. So that was very unsatisfactory because, I mean, we all know that sexual harassment doesn't only happen in an office environment. It happens so commonly, like, you know, patient harassing nurses, teacher harassing students, you know, and parliamentarians, shall I say more?
So, talk to us then about how the bill defines sexual harassment. We kind of ran through it earlier, but is it both broad as well as specific enough?
I think it's quite a generic kind of definition, you know. So the bill now says that sexual harassment is unwanted conduct of a sexual nature in any form. So that's good because it will cover virtual and electronic sexual harassment that is so rampant nowadays, right? And whether the harassment is verbal, non-verbal, visual, gestural or physical, whether it's directed at the person. So what we can see here is that the complainant may be a male. But the next part is the one that I find is quite problematic, you know. It says that it must be reasonably offensive. I have a big issue with this. I don't understand why there has to be a qualifier there, reasonable. When the term reasonable is used, it would appear to make it an objective standard. Whereas whether an act or a gesture is sexually harassing, it ought to be whether the complainant felt that it was offensive, you know. And also the sexually harassing act could be humiliating or a threat to her well-being. That's the general definition in the bill. So definition is okay lah, you know. But I feel the more important part about this issue about sexual harassment is the people who make up the tribunal, you know. How do they appreciate the definition and how will they apply it in the real cases that come before them. That is going to be a tough nut to crack.
We have this message from a listener, Asmin, who asks, I assume the Act can be applied to the MPs in Parliament. Do we know, honey?
I would argue yes, you know, but not when they're, strictly speaking, when they're in the Parliament, the hall itself, because, I mean, there are a lot of privileges that happen, but if it's something within the building of the Parliament, but not in the day one itself, I would say yes.
So we've been touching on this quite a bit. Let's just get into it, because the legislation broadens legal recourse. It allows people to file a claim against perpetrators through a special tribunal. Can you talk to us about how this works?
I think the problem here is that they're passing now the bill, but there are no rules and procedures set up as yet. It just says that, you know, the minister can make all these rules and procedures. So right now, everything is still very opaque, not clear at all.
So would victims lodge complaints to the police then?
Not if you want to trigger this tribunal mechanism. I always say that, you know, anyone should make a police report if they want the police to investigate the matter and have the perpetrator charged, you know. So if you are not intending to go the criminal way, so sexual harassment can be criminal if it's found to be, like, you know, outraging or modesty or the very more serious cases of rape. So then if the complainant wants to make a police report, then yeah.
What is the selection process like for this tribunal? Do we know anything about that yet? And why is that important?
Well, here comes another not clear. All we know is that the members are appointed by the Women's Minister, which I feel puts too much power in one person's hands. The members of the tribunal will comprise, you know, members of the judicial and legal service, lawyers. But I think the one that I really like is that it can also comprise persons having knowledge or practical experience in matters relating to sexual harassment. So that's really good, because then you can include people from, you know, NGOs or people who are working in the human resources department, you know. I mean, the people who are really having practical, hands-on, you know, knowledge and dealing with this on a day-to-day basis.
So what happens when a report is lodged with this tribunal? What is the process that follows?
Again, it is unclear. So everybody now is just waiting for the rules and the procedure to be more clarified. So, but that's normal for legislation. So the Act will just set out, you know, who is running, who's going to have, you know, in that sense, custody of this Act and what are the main provisions. But when it comes to the nuts and bolts, how to run the tribunal and all that will come in the rules and the procedures, which ought to come very soon.
So one of the central difficulties, right, whenever we've talked about sexual harassment and investigation around it, is that many of the acts actually take place in private, or they're difficult to prove, no one else was around. What would investigations look like here? What burden of proof would be required?
I think the first thing we ought to make clear is that the tribunal does not investigate. That's not its job. So we are still back to the complainant having to prove it. But the good thing is that they actually spell out the standard of proof, which is a civil standard. So sexual harassment, if you're bringing it to the tribunal, it's on the balance of probabilities.
So then how will perpetrators be charged? Would this be through the tribunal or through the courts?
When you use the word charge, then it usually means a criminal offence. So if a perpetrator is charged, it would mean that the complainant had lodged a police report, the police have investigated, and the DPP have found sufficient evidence to charge. So that's a criminal matter. If it is via this tribunal, I imagine it will be, you know, filling in a form and setting out what happened. I think, I'm not sure, because the procedure is not out yet.
And what do we know about the penalties for perpetrators?
Okay, that we know, because the Act provides for that. I think perpetrators may be relatively happy to know that the maximum compensation to pay a complainant is only $250,000. Right? That's not a lot. But having said that, the very well-known sexual harassment case of Mohammad Rizwan, the courts only granted $120,000. So $250,000 might look like, you know, quite a fair bit. The other penalty or so-called redress is an apology. and the apology may be published if the sexual harassment, like say for example, if it's done, you know, on the internet or something, then the apology may be published. And then the other one, which I find a bit odd, is that parties may be made to attend a program. I don't know what they mean by program. Do they mean some rehabilitative counseling? And if the answer is yes, somebody ought to go to rehabilitative counseling, that would actually be the perpetrator so that, you know, hopefully he doesn't reoffend. For the complainant, the person who's really like, you know, have gone through a lot, yeah, then I think that person should go through some therapy as well. But I think the focus should be on the perpetrator. So, I mean, the issue is the reoffending, because I think that's a very big concern, lah.
Now, will perpetrators have this on their permanent record? How does that work?
Well, it's really unlikely, because it's not like if this were taken under the Employment Act, because then that will come under his employment record and all that. And if this were charged in court, in the criminal court, then yes, he will have a conviction. So that will be on record. But it's also not clear here, you know, this is a tribunal. It looks like it's a civil kind of process. So there probably will be no record as such. I want to say that the good thing is that they have said that the hearing will be behind closed doors. But my other big concern is that they haven't put the provision in to say that the parties will not be named and that they will be anonymized. So usually for example, cases involving children and all that, they will anonymize. So usually they will say, you know, Ray, Charles, C, or if it's ABC against DEF, you know. So that's not in the Act. The Act only says that the tribunal hearing will be behind closed doors.
And apart from going to the tribunal, how else may sexual harassment be dealt with under the law?
Right now, after the Mohamed Rizwan case was quite outstanding, the federal court actually created a tort. A tort is a civil wrong of sexual harassment. So the two main redress for any complainant when you file a case in tort is damages, which is basically a monetary compensation. And the other one, which is very important, are injunctions. So injunctions are usually, in this our case, prohibitory. That means the courts will quite likely order that the perpetrator does not repeat this. I mean, this is especially true when it comes to, you know, internet sexual harassment. That's really quite awful. So the thought of sexual harassment, the thought of assault. Assault is when you fear that about your physical safety. Battery is actually touching. It might even be a kiss. That is the thought of battery. Emotional distress, that is another thought. I think the other one that people don't think so much about, but I mean, anyone who's gone through sexual harassment, a lot of psychological, mental, emotional suffering. So there is a thought called the intentional infliction of nervous shock. That's something that complainants can think about.
Honey, we have about a minute left. What improvements or refinements would you like to see in this bill?
I think one of the big things is that the decision is final. That's very worrying, you know. And it can only be challenged in the High Court if there is serious irregularity. I mean, why are they making it more difficult for, you know, a review process, whereas in other sorts of general civil matters, parties have an opportunity to go for judicial review. But now we have this other standard, serious irregularity. So otherwise, the decision of the tribunal is final, and that can be actually quite devastating.
Honey, thanks for speaking with us today.
Oh, most welcome.
That was Honey Tan, advocate and solicitor of the High Court of Malaya and a women's rights lawyer, helping us understand the newly passed anti-sexual harassment bill. And we'd like to hear from you. Are you happy that it's been passed? Do you think the special tribunal is the way to go? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll hone in on the tribunal itself and talk about the importance of it essentially functioning in an effective way to be representative of the sorts of needs we might need. And so keep your thoughts coming. We'll be speaking with Dr. Shanti Tambaya of University Malaya. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:39. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the passing of the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill, which was passed just yesterday. Earlier, we heard about how the bill works and the legalities and the processes involved. Now we're going to look at the tribunal specifically and how ideally we would like it to work. But do keep sending your thoughts through. Are you happy the bill's been passed? Do you think the special tribunal is the way to go? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Before we move on to our next guest, we do have this from Legion.
Legion says, will the tribunal include or seek advice of survivors of sexual harassment or assault? Were the voices or opinions of victims sought when drafting the bill? Now, those are two separate points, right? Because the bill and the drafting of it versus the actual makeup of the tribunal and who's going to be involved in it. So as far as the drafting of the bill goes, by all accounts, it sounds like a consultative process. I don't know how comprehensive it was on who or which groups of people necessarily were spoken to, but by all accounts, consultative. Now, on that point about the tribunal, though, I think it's an interesting one in that what is coming across from your message, Legion, as well as from the MP's discussion, from the tenor of the conversation on social media, I think that there is a very intense desire for the tribunal to be inclusive and also for the tribunal to be a consultative one. In other words, that when we talk about people who have knowledge or understanding of sexual harassment, that's good and important, but is there also going to be a sort of nuance in the way that the tribunal members approach the individual cases? That's, I think, a very strong desire that we're seeing across the board.
And I think understandably so, because this tribunal essentially will end up being the means through which perpetrators can be brought to justice in some form anyway. Keep those thoughts coming. You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to discuss this tribunal further is Dr. Shanti Thambeya, Associate Professor of Gender Studies at University Malaya. Dr. Shanti, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me on to discuss on the very important matter of the tribunal in addressing the sexual harassment, as an approach in addressing sexual harassment matters.
So before we get to the tribunal itself, the bill has finally been passed after being postponed several times over the last 2 years. How do you feel about this?
We are all very happy because it's a huge milestone achieved in the women's movement, because activism in this area of sexual harassment and the need for a sexual harassment bill has happened since the 1980s. And it's a long wait, and it's a big success, I would say. And I would commend the persistence of activism in this. And the women's movement have endured and persisted and has seen this come into reality.
So if we look then at the tribunal, which, as you mentioned, is a hugely important component of this, do you see this as a good approach to take? How effective is it to have a tribunal overseeing these matters?
I think in terms of the members of the drafting committee, it was very, very consultative. And we know that there are many paths to take in addressing sexual harassment. We can go on the criminal path, we can go on the civil path. We have also under the Employment Act, the path where we can go to other courts, you know, the labor courts and other things. But at the moment, this tribunal is something that we should be happy about, because it's a highly specialized tribunal that will only be looking at sexual harassment matters. It is not dealing with any other matters of law, just sexual harassment. So very, very specialized tribunal. And who constitutes the tribunal? Of course, members of the judiciary, people with legal background, and also experts who have knowledge about how to deal with sexual harassment matters and how to be good mediators and conciliators of matters related to sexual harassment. So I am happy that we have this highly specialized tribunal that will only focus on sexual harassment and not deal with other matters of law. So that is a good achievement. And the tribunal as a mechanism or an approach is good, because I think in an open court system or in any other methods and approaches to addressing sexual harassment, we have to ensure that identity is protected. Personal and public scrutiny on the survivor is not used against the complainant. So I think having the tribunal as an approach to address sexual harassment is a very good approach, and it's an approach that is related to, you know, alternative dispute resolution approaches. There are many different types, and this is one. And if someone wants to take the criminal path on the sexual harassment matter, she or he is free to do that. And they can also take any other paths. You know, you can also use the Employment Act, you know, anything. But this is one approach which will be addressing the issue, because sexual harassment is a highly emotional matter. And a lot of people don't come out. The level of complaints or the level of people who actually take the matter to court, for example, is extremely low. The prevalence is very high. So we need to have a highly specialized tribunal that deals only with sexual harassment so that justice can be done. Because there are far too many people who have just pushed it aside because it's just too painful to take this matter up in all the other pathways to justice. So this seems to be a good pathway to justice, which will be taking into consideration, like, for example, power differences. You know, there is a lot of power imbalances in matters of sexual harassment between the perpetrator and the survivor, and therefore a tribunal approach would be more sensitive to this kind of issues, and also be more sensitive to issues relating to emotions also. So I think this is something that there are weaknesses in all approaches, but this is a specialized tribunal, just focus on sexual harassment. And I think I am very pleased with that.
Now, to address those concerns, actually, the Minister, Datuk Sri Rina Momanharun, assured that the tribunal would consist of credible individuals who are experienced and have expertise in sexual harassment cases. Who are the kinds of individuals that the tribunal needs? I mean, what would that ideal representation look like to you?
Yes, the law, the bill itself, the law itself has stated the constitution of who makes up the tribunal. So we need people from the judiciary with legal background. We also need people who have expertise in matters relating to sexual harassment. But who should constitute the tribunal is also, we need to have people who have expertise in conciliation and mediation, because this is a civil path, you know, and therefore should be tailored to deal with some of the more difficult and intense emotions involved in sexual harassment matters. So in terms of who constitutes the tribunal, the diversity is important. And when we talk about diversity, we talk about diversity in terms of ethnicity, race, religion, and all those things. But we also need to look at diversity in terms of skills and knowledge sets. A person who's gender sensitive, a person who brings in knowledge about inequality in gender power relationships, we need people like that in the tribunal. We also need people who have experience in practical experience and practical knowledge in investigating and dealing with issues related to sexual harassment. And I think there are people in the country who have those kinds of skills and expertise, which hopefully the administrator, which is an issue now, will have to look into.
We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Shanti Tambeya. After this, we are speaking about the tribunal that's a big part of the anti-sexual harassment bill that was just passed. Let us know, are you happy this bill's been passed? Do you think the special tribunal is the way to go? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. We'll be back after this with more with Dr. Shanti. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:50. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about the special tribunal that will come under the anti-sexual harassment bill. Do send your thoughts our way. Are you happy the bill's passed? Do you think this tribunal is the way to go? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Shanti Tambaya, Associate Professor of Gender Studies at University Belaya. Dr. Shanti, so MP Thioni Ching highlighted concerns about the tribunal's gender composition. So you touched on gender sensitivity earlier, but tell us why the gender of the people making up the tribunal also matters.
Yes, we have to actually look at the tribunal to be very balanced in terms of gender representation. We cannot have a very male-dominated tribunal. We must make sure that, you know, there should be more female in the tribunal. Unfortunately, we carry a huge cultural baggage informed by norms and ideologies, and that should not in any way hinder the administration of justice in this process. And therefore, I think it's extremely important that we bring much more gender balance, or slightly much more skewed towards having more females in the tribunal compared to men. I think that it would be very, very important to make sure that we have a tribunal that is gender represented and also balanced in terms of gender composition, besides other forms of diversity that we want to see present in the tribunal.
Now, marginalized groups tend to be more vulnerable to sexual harassment and do face additional barriers when reporting cases because of fear of reprisal and so on. What steps need to be taken to ensure that the tribunal is, in fact, a safe and inclusive space for people to share their experiences and that they will feel open doing so?
Yes, I think the tribunal would be able to facilitate this compared to all other pathways, you know, to justice. Most people who are from the vulnerable group, say, for example, refugees or, you know, disabled people, special needs people, they will need to go, they don't directly go to the tribunal and put their complaints in. They would have gone to an NGO, or, you know, it's in the implementation of the law that we need to spell out that these vulnerable groups need to be given some form of assistance in terms of putting their case or putting their complaint forward. So they have to be accompanied by somebody, for example, or an NGO that would be supporting and helping them. So I think in terms of this question, it is in the implementation of the law itself and the procedures, the regulations and the guidelines that should be accompanying the law should spell this out, that for these special groups, we need them to have not necessarily a council, but NGOs or groups that can support them and bring the matter up to the tribunal for them. And they can also attend the tribunal with the complainant. So that can be spelled out in the regulations and the guidelines that should be accompanying the law.
Now, if we look beyond the tribunal, there's also the matter of the evaluation committee that's supposed to monitor the effectiveness of the law. And Hannah Yu, for example, mentioned the need for racial as well as religious diversity in this committee. What's your take on that?
Yes, I think it's very, very important to be very inclusive in who constitutes the monitoring committee. And the monitoring committee will look at the effectiveness, efficacy of the law per se in terms of the numbers of cases that have come to the tribunal, how has the tribunal dealt with it, and how many cases have actually been, the whole issue has been resolved, and dispute has been settled, how many of it, you know, has been dismissed. All this needs to be looked into, and the efficacy of the law in terms of when it is implemented needs to be monitored. And the monitoring committee also needs to be very, very inclusive of what represents the nation. So I think what YB Henna wants is fair. It's something that we should always think of whenever we want to do things in this country, so that, you know, it's a nation that should be inclusive, and therefore all forms of diversity and differences needs to be included in this monitoring committee. And I think that is something that they themselves can highlight in Parliament.
Dr. Shanti, is there anything that you'd like to leave us with as a final message?
Yes. I think this bill is extremely important, and the efficacy and the spirit of the law should be to restrain sexual harassment, not just to punish, but to restrain. We don't want to see the levels of sexual harassment that is taking place in this country remain at the levels it is. It's very, very high. But many people don't come forward to complain. So via this bill, people can make the complaint and it becomes an issue, and people will understand that this is no longer tolerated in this country. And therefore, we need to uphold the spirit of the law. It's to restrain and to reduce the occurrence of sexual harassment in the country. And we need societal level reform that will take place. I mean, I'm very wishful, but I think that's very important that we have some form of understanding that sexual harassment is related to gender inequality, it's related to imbalance in power relationships, and people should not be abusing that differences in power to victimize somebody, you know. And therefore, with this bill, there will be national societal level understanding that this is no longer tolerated, and therefore we will see like a first stepping stone towards us achieving some form of gender equality via this bill in matters relating to sexual harassment that is no longer tolerated in this country. And that is something that should be it's an indicator, the law, if we monitor and see there's a decline and reduction, it's a powerful indicator that the law has served its purpose. But this is very long term. We measure and we have indicators and all those things. And that is something that I would like to see as a kind of outcome from the law.
Dr. Shanti, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Dr. Shanti Tambiya, Associate Professor of Gender Studies at University Malaya, speaking to us about the tribunal that comes under the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill. Do keep sending your thoughts through. Are you happy the bill has passed? Do you think having the tribunal is the way to go? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.